Podtacular, episode 290, Community Impressions, from May 17th, 2012. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Podtacular. I am your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Daftlink.
And we have Keith from the Running Riot. Hello, Keith.
Hello, Duststorm.
Welcome back on the show.
It's good to be back.
It's been at least, what, 10, 12 episodes since you've been on the show?
You've been cranking them out like crazy.
We've been a podcasting machine as of late.
What, you have three in 1 week?
Yeah, we had three last week. One of which, I don't know if I've... No, I haven't officially announced this on the podcast yet. But for episode 287, that was the one with Green Skull and Jack Fire Dragon talking about the railgun. We had over 20,000 downloads. So...
Do you have any idea why? Like, it's... I mean, that's a big jump.
It is. It is.
So, what...
We always get big jumps whenever we get posted to Waypoint and HBO. But the last time that we had a big push like this, we were lucky to hit to break 10,000. And this next time we broke 20,000.
That was recently too, though, right? That 10,000 show.
Yeah, it was when the it was when the big Halo 4 leak came out back at PAX, which was a month ago. Yeah, that was at that point. That was my biggest podcast release of the time I've been on the show, and then this just blew it out of the water. And actually, according to the WordPress stats for the visitors, the busiest day was May 9th, the day that those got posted on Waypoint.
Well, there you go.
So we had
a Waypoint count.
We had 1,700 hits to the site, and we've had 20,000 hits or downloads of that podcast.
There you go.
So I gotta make a big shout out to everyone that's subscribes on a regular basis, listens to the show, and sends it out to their friends. And I hope you guys enjoy the stuff that you hear. And
I told you,
you keep coming back.
Show was hot. You didn't listen to me all those years. Told you.
I had my doubts. Yes.
Yes, you did.
And now I've been proven wrong. You should be happy.
I am very. I told you. I'm elated, dude. I'm really am, dude. I'm just elated to be. Still be able to come in here and hang out in general. Then to hear that the show's doing really good.
It's doing well.
Dude, I told you.
Doing really well.
This show was a major inspiration.
And we've had some big names on lately too, which I think has been another big help.
Yeah. It's all about the paparazzi.
Indeed. If you consider it paparazzi in the gaming universe.
Yeah, no, we kid.
It's got to have a different term to it.
The mamarazzi? The gamerazzi?
The gamerazzi.
The gamerazzi? Gamer-er-er.
Okay. Anyways.
So on this episode of Podtacular, we'll be discussing the recent releases of Max Payne 3 and Diablo 3.
No, we're going to be talking about the recent releases of the Halo 4 info, since this is a Halo podcast.
And boy, does that info look superb.
Daft, hey, what are we going to do with you?
I already have mine actually pre-ordered, so...
There's Keith's soundboard. I actually forgot to pre-order mine this morning when I went to work, so I'll have to hop on GameStop or Amazon and pre-order my limited edition after the show's over.
I saw people having difficulty trying to
really
do that at first, when it first came out, doing the limited edition order. Is it okay now? I haven't.
I don't know. I can try ordering mine right now and see what happens.
Yeah. Is it on Amazon?
It was on GameStop last night, but the only reason I didn't buy it from GameStop is because they didn't have an in-store pickup option yet.
Not yet? Ooh, no, you need that.
Man, no, it sounds like you're like going to some slum GameStop or something.
No, yeah, the one that's right by me is pretty
destitute.
Small. No, it's just one of the smaller ones. And I'm probably going...
It's not in a big strip mall or something.
Well, the thing I'm going to do is probably
I just
pre-order the limited edition. And then wherever I decide to go for a big launch party, either if there's one here in D.C. or I might just take a train up to New York. So I'm thinking about New York. I'm thinking about taking Monday and Tuesday off of work and going up to New York for the launch party. If I pre-order an additional copy, I'll just pre-order a regular edition.
I'm going to have to meet you for that.
Yeah.
I work right around the corner.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're just going to be right after work. You'd be like, okay.
So, well, there's been a couple of game launches that I've probably, I really only would have went to Halo ones, but there's been a couple that I went to since that I would never went to. I went to Gears 3 launch party. I didn't go in. I went out. I was on the outside and stuff, hanging out with JVB, you know, a couple of other people that would go to some stuff like that. And it was just because I was right outside of work. It was just like, you know, right. I probably really wouldn't have planned that. I wouldn't have come to the city for that, but it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
There was another one too. I forget what it was, but another big, they have the big launch parties in the city now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
The Reach one was awesome.
Well, imagine how big this one's going to be. Because they're bringing back Master Chief into the whole thing. So this is going to be huge.
I want them to do Mongooses in Times Square again.
I am getting a little excited right now. Because actually, until we just started talking about that, I didn't actually think about the launch party. For Halo 4. I was like, what am I going to do that night? I was just thinking today, I was pre-ordering. I'm like, what am I going to do? I guess I'm going to have to go to Times Square and hang out with this boob.
Hey now.
You see now?
Well, I just looked on GameStop and Amazon, and they don't have release date shipping. Neither of them do.
I'm choosing my shipping speed right now. I'm going to one day shipping. I mean, what am I supposed to do so I can get it like the day it releases, right?
Yeah. Well, even one day shipping isn't guaranteed to be on the 6th.
I guess. Whatever. I can always change this later. Whatever. Just give me the order. Just put it in.
I don't know. I'm thinking about like, because I'm going to go ahead and do the pre-order on the limited edition. If I decide to get another one, I'll just get a regular edition. And do it at the New York launch, wherever that's going to end up
being.
Well,
yeah. The New York launch, you could buy your copy right there. You know, the limited edition, too, whatever.
Do you not have to pre-order? I would assume you have to... Like, where would it be held at? I've never been to a New York event before, so... Or any launch party that of that magnitude before, so I'm kind of clueless.
Okay. If it's been the way the last couple of game launches have gone in Times Square at the Best Buy Theater, what happens is you got to wait online to get in. But it's open to the general public. And inside there, you know, they have all these events and stations set up to play the game, but there's also an area, because it's through Best Buy or something like that, to purchase the game. Like, you'll go and you can buy the game or buy any other stuff, too, that they're selling there. But they do, at midnight there, at the launch party, sell it so you can buy it. And it was more than enough copies for everybody from the Reach one.
Well, I mean, I got to get a pre-order in anyways just so I can get the pre-order bonuses.
And here's the thing, actually, is good, and this is why Claude is the man. Like, he knows exactly what to do with these things. So he's there, like, he bought a couple of editions of the game. He bought, like, some controllers, a whole bunch of different stuff. And we were at the launch party, so what did he do? He just had everybody sign it. Some developers, some, Frankie, of course, and, you know, everybody. And only, you know, none of that stuff was for him. It's all giveaways.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'm not quite that thrifty yet.
Yeah, you know, but yeah, it's not even that. But it's also like that stuff can either giveaways or, you know, auctions and stuff like that.
Right.
But Claude's not, you know, Claude has a little money to burn.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about
it. Hey,
good for him. He earned it.
He did. Oh, absolutely. Oh, dude, it was, you know, it's.
And he probably creates jobs on the side. You admire him.
I really actually don't know Claude's political stance in the world.
It's not even political. It's economic. It's purely mathematical.
I don't even know his economic
stance. It's purely mathematical. It's not even an ideology.
I have no idea of Claude's financial things, but I have been to his house, and it's pretty nice.
Oh, okay.
Claude.
Mick said he would invite me to the next one if they have another one.
What, LAN?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, a friend and I, we're definitely planning on going to the midnight launch at the GameStop by us. Pretty excited about that. Going to get there probably like an hour earlier, maybe 2 hours or something.
Nice.
Is there a lot of people?
Is there a big one in Florida?
Is it a big launch? Like
I'm assuming it'll probably be big. I mean, the GameStop near us has only been open since like March or April. And I went to the Diablo 3 / Max Payne 3 launch this week, a couple days ago. There were like 20 people there. Mm-hmm. It was the Source first midnight launch, you know, of all time. And of course, Halo 4, you know, probably be much bigger release than Max Payne and Diablo, even though those are superb games. But,
right.
You know, it's funny. There are actually a lot of gothic people there for Diablo.
that was probably awesome.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
Hmm. Yeah. All right, well, let's get back on to some Halo 4 stuff. So we just mentioned the limited edition, and let's talk through some of the details of what that's going to have.
Looks fantastic.
It does look fantastic. We get getting a lot of nice goodies in here.
Yeah, for a lot of stuff for $100, I mean, I think that's a fine price for all the content.
The right price point.
I think you're almost stupid if you don't get this edition.
Oh, yeah.
Because with the $100 price tag, you get all three map packs that they're going to release for free.
Yep.
So you basically have $30 done right there. So if you add that to the retail price already, that's $90. So you have $10 to catch up on. You get six specializations, which I'm assuming is going to be the armor loadouts that they're going to have for Halo 4.
It doesn't sound like that, though, because it says specialization will get you higher ranks and get you more customization options. That doesn't sound like an armor ability. It sounds like some kind of, you know.
But I'm wondering if specializations, and I mean, this is kind of a talking point that I wanted to get to. What do they mean by specializations? We're still...
Nobody knows.
Right, so my theory or guess is that the specializations is going to be one of those custom class things that you can make and have that you can use in-game.
But how it could be something else. Higher ranks? Like, maybe it's just something like new altogether for just like the matchmaking, like the progression system, not even overly like affects gameplay, just something like with the progression.
Well, didn't they say something about you're going to be able to tailor your Spartan to your gameplay, which will kind of make you
but that sounds
be able to
like
play
a,
closer to your playstyle and be
but,
able to.
But that kind sounds of, like that just goes with the ability to, you know, change your primary and secondary weapons and your armor abilities and all that, you know. Maybe, you know, specializations.
Maybe. I mean, what do you think it might be?
Me?
Both of you guys.
I mean, from what, in a basic sense, I understand is, and if we're talking about the same thing, as far as how equal it's going to be when we, you know, you start the game, right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
As far as balance, right? Yeah, I mean, it sounds like we've been promised that it's going to be, everything is going to be balanced, no matter what the loadout, everything is going to be balanced against each other.
Right.
It just changed the play.
You're just
style.
Able to tailor it to
your
how you
style.
Like to play Halo.
Everybody,
right.
And it
but
sounds
didn't they say that about the Halo Reach Arm Village? Haven't we been down that path before? Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Is armor lock that balanced? It's debatable.
No. Yes, and you're right. You're actually going into the right area because armor abilities is the full, all the balanced things. But yeah. This is all the same. I think it's all the same. I think you're right.
You know, developers make lots of promises, and a lot of it's kind of idealism at the end of the day. You got to kind of look past the fluff. And
yeah.
You know,
well, some things.
Well, hold on. Don't the developers, they have a playing style too, you know?
Right.
It's their players also. So, I don't know, man. It's.
Yeah.
I think the ideas are great, but, you know, the ideas in multiplayer, you know, they're not. It's just.
They really aren't well thought out until the game is actually released. Yeah. Even the beta.
And then they might need to be patched and, you know, tweaked and stuff, you know.
Right.
Dude, Armor Lock cool looks cool, doesn't it? Does it look like the ground pound?
No, it looks like you're awesome. Kind of a sissy. You're hiding in your little bubble.
Not really when you feel invincible.
And you're invincible, but you can't even do anything. You're basically a rock just sitting there.
Right. Key.
Button. Wrong button.
What I think specializations might be, like, when it talks about, you know, like activating higher ranks, more customization options, like, it sounds to me like something with the progression, something with the matchmaking system. Like, it doesn't sound like something that will, like, directly affect gameplay, like you know, like an armor ability would, but, like, open up pathways for things that affect gameplay, basically just like a progression thing.
Right.
All right.
You know, it sounds like this could either be really good or this could be really bad.
Well, like, I mean, they're putting it in the limited edition, so they're obviously, you know, taking a high gambit, right? Putting a lot of money on the whole idea.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like other people can't Call get it either. It's going to take somehow, time.
Though.
I wonder if it's going to be something like you choose a specialization that you're geared for, so like maybe if you're an up close and personal, you get more experience if you get shotgun and melee kills, where maybe there's a long range specialization where if you get DMR headshots or snipes, you get more XP that way.
Who knows? Jesus Christ.
I mean, that's another possibility.
In custom games, you guys with all this shit.
So you pick melee specialization for melee stuff, you get more XP from melee stuff.
Right, you have a specialization to a certain play style that you have.
I don't know. I feel like that kind of system, like it's an interesting idea, but I feel like it could be exploited quite a bit. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, if everyone could do it, I guess not. But I don't know.
Well, I mean, everyone will be able to do it at some point. It's just not unlocked for everyone at the beginning, unless you have the limited edition. You get six of these.
At some point. So what are they going to release these specializations? So for the people who did not buy limited,
I think you unlock them.
You unlock them?
Yeah. I think it's like an in-game progression.
If they're going the route where like they'll be later available to purchase if you didn't buy limited, that's like kind of goes back to our discussion a couple episodes ago of like the whole, you know, the money system, the, you know, here, buy this, get ahead type thing that I really don't want to happen for the game.
No, ultimately. And I don't think 343 is doing that. I really think it's just something that, because it says receive early access. It doesn't say
that
you get a special access. It's just something that you get early as a perk of buying the limited edition.
I don't think anybody can do that anymore. Like, you can't give anybody that much of advantage for spending money.
Right.
You know?
And day one DLC is a stupid thing.
You know, it's all right. I get it from a business standpoint. It's promoting...
Day one
DLC. It's in new copies. It's promoting A, early adopters of the game, and B, purchases of new copies as opposed to used copies down the road when the developer gets no money from the used copies.
You know what? If I want it, I'll just I just buy it.
Yeah.
Right from the beginning, more content. Not just because like I have disposable income like that or anything like that. It's just I know there's some franchises that, like Halo, like we'll throw our money at it.
Mm-hmm.
We're invested. Yeah. So, the Mass Effect.
We're heavily invested.
Heavily invested. I'm glad there's not a legendary edition of Halo 4, just because, like, it would be a really hard decision whether to buy the legendary or limited.
You'd have to go with legendary at that point.
I would almost have to, and it scares me, and I don't want to.
Yeah.
I'm glad they only gave us two choices, what I'm saying. I think that's
Well, the
perfect.
Thing is, with the price of...
They made a very price... smart move, and the one other choice we get is at a very reasonable price for all the content you get. It's a very, very good move, I think.
Yeah, it's a good balance point.
Everybody needs to do that going forward. All games. It's got to be a little more simple now.
Well, I mean, so you're saying... All games should have just regular and then like just one special edition.
Yep.
Yes. I don't know, but I.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. Like, I kind of like options sometimes. Like it mixes things up a little bit. You know. Like I'm not against it.
I like the two though, and that's just that. I thought that is an option. I just too many options.
Yeah.
There's too many options, and I feel in games. I don't know. I'm getting, maybe because I'm getting older, I'm definitely getting a lot more simpler and I'm liking simpler games with just straightforward, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of know what you mean. Cause today I saw online, the Borderlands 2, there's like the regular edition. Then there's like the medium edition with like some extra stuff. Then there's like the super like $150 ultimate loot chest edition with like tons and tons of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, Borderlands, that's a little ridiculous.
That's a perfect example. I'll tell you why. That's Borderlands. Borderlands is a big game, but it's not that big. It's not a big franchise. It's not a big
They're trying to make it into one. They're trying to build up steam.
It's pretty significant. It's a pretty significant franchise.
What?
It's a pretty significant franchise.
It's also a young franchise. It's a new IP in a lot of ways.
It's a new IP. Don't do that to the gamers. Let them get more invested in it in order to spend money like we're at with Halo. Halo definitely requires a little more additions, a little more, not too much, but you know, the special, you know, the regular limited. You know, Gears deserved it. A lot of different series deserves it, you know. Mass Effect, deserved it. You know, all these things deserve that kind of treatment in a game when their universe is that big and broad. You know, but Borderlands, now that's where it's just complete marketing and it's easy to see. It's right there in the open.
I think you'd have a little more of a point if Borderlands 1 was about to come out and they were doing like all this over the top, different, like lots of different editions for the very first game. I mean, the very first Borderlands was pretty successful. The second one, there's a fair amount of hype there. I mean, it's a little more acceptable, you know, than if it was just like the first game with lots of additions, I think. And I think also with Halo, Halo's history with many different special editions, it's like usually the limited edition would be kind of like your essentials, quote unquote, like behind the scenes and, you know, maybe some extra, you know, digital content, whatever. And then the legendary is just the same thing, but with some like vanity item, like a statue or whatever, this hunk of plastic.
That's the form.
I mean, it's just vanity. So it's like, I mean, you might as well just, you know, buy limited at that point because those are the essentials. You know, it's kind of like something a little more Halo centric. Whereas like with Borderlands, like with those editions they announced recently, it seems like the medium edition has good stuff, but then the highest edition also has its own like actually good stuff, not just like a piece of like a vanity statue or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of like a series to series case thing.
Yeah. Well, collectors too, you know, you got a collecting and I understand that to a point for me, but there's, you know, I know there's collectors that don't stop, but and we had one on the show.
Right.
But I mean, I think it's great. I think it's great for him, but it's not good for me. That would be a nightmare.
There's a lot of people that are really invested in the stuff in Halo 4. I mean, I would definitely be out buying some other stuff, and I probably will pick up some older things here and there down the road as I get more into my job.
You're stimulating the economy. Good for you.
Hey.
Claude had...
I went out and bought the Halo 3 Xbox when I had to send mine in to go get fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah. Exactly.
That's a nice one. I always wish I had that one. I never.
So I have the Halo 3 Xbox and the Reach Xbox.
Oh, fantastic.
Nice. I got the Reach Xbox. I went all out. I went so we're talking about edition.
No. I went all out. I'm going to tell you my all out after you done with your all out.
Okay. I'm trying to think. All right. I'll tell mine and you tell yours.
Mm-hmm.
First? Or is it your show? You should do it first.
You do yours
first.
Do you
want to be the ending?
Why doesn't the guest go first? Right.
You go first.
I bought the Reach Xbox. The Reach. What was it called? Legendary, right?
Legendary Edition.
Legendary Edition with the statue, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I bought those two, the controller, and that's it, I guess.
The controller came with the Xbox.
No, but there was something else. There was one other thing. I know.
There was the Reach headset.
I bought the Reach headset.
I got that one at free.
That time, that was actually. Oh, you got it for free?
Yeah. After we were done podcasting, there was one on the table, and it's like, this is pretty cool. And one of the 343 guys there is like, you want it? I'm like, sure. He says, take it.
It's a good one.
So.
That's a good one, man. Those headsets are good.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, you ready for my sellout story?
Yeah. I guess mine's not so good.
So I pre-ordered the limited edition.
Nice.
And at the same time, I ordered the Xbox. So I went to the Midnight release and got the limited edition. Brought it back, played it for like 2 or 3 hours. Then 2 days later, I got the Xbox in the mail, unpacked it, got it set up and everything. And then I want to say sometime early last year, they had the Legendary Edition on like ridiculous discount, like 50% off or something. So I bought the Legendary Edition then, and then they also had an advertisement on the Xbox dashboard for renewing Gold and getting Reach for free. So I also got that and got Reach for free there.
Jesus. But you didn't spend that much money.
I spent about $700 on Halo Reach stuff.
I guess, yeah.
Between the Xbox, the Legendary Edition, the Limited Edition.
Yeah, you did that Limited Edition thing. See, why did you go Limited? Why didn't you go Legendary right from the start?
At the time, I just wasn't really interested in getting the statue. Once it was...
If you were podcasting back then, I probably would have slapped you. Yeah, or something.
Well, I'm a lot bigger now.
I can't slap you anymore.
Nope.
Yeah, he's slapping me.
Let's see, what else is in this limited edition? We have the UNSC...
Wait, can I just bring something up?
Yeah.
Before we kind of move on. So on the whole, like, special edition discussion, I just think, like, whether a company wants to do regular and then just one special edition, or whether they want to do a variety of special editions. I mean, either works. I just think, like, this right now in this time and these circumstances, just regular and then one edition option works well for Halo. It's having that history of like the top just being like one extra vanity thing that works for Halo right now.
Right now,
it's kind of refreshing
for everyone. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of refreshing. I mean, for Halo 5 and 6, especially 6, I could see them going kind of all out, like last hurrah kind of thing.
Right. That's a good point. That's actually, yeah. Yeah, maybe because they are just, yeah, this is the beginning of the trilogy.
Right.
That's a good point, man.
And for other games, if they want to have, for other games, if the developers want to have a bunch of editions for consumers to choose from, like, well, sure, why not let them? If consumers are willing to spend money on those things, like, let them, why not?
Right.
Right.
You know, it's supply and demand.
Exactly. It is supply and demand. Dude, people like us, we're just talking about the shit we just bought. This is we're the reasons why these things keep coming out.
Mm-hmm.
We just did it with a recent game, Reach. Mm-hmm. This is why we're going to get... But that's what they didn't do, though. They actually kind of... And that's interesting. It's Microsoft too. Yeah. They did. That's what's a little different about 343. Right there is actually a difference in 343 that, if we've been following this stuff over the years, that's definitely with something at Microsoft and has got a fully owned, you know, that's different, man. 343 is doing something different than any other game studio tied with Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
there's some different, they're treating it differently.
Well, it's Halo.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the Xbox blockbuster.
Yeah, they probably, I don't know if they're giving them any kind of big budget, but I think they got to wait till after this game launches. If this game launches with good sales and a boom, they will have some budget for the next game, man.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Now, thinking of where we're going with consoles, next gen, Halo 5's development cycle, how this is all lining up in the long run. I could imagine, you know, maybe Halo 5 being like the next Xbox's premier launch title.
Ooh.
And there being a Halo 5 themed next Xbox.
Yeah.
Possibly there's
a lot of.
I wouldn't say the timing on that probably not optimal, because it sounds like they're having a release of the Xbox 720 in 2014, but Halo 5 wouldn't be out until 2015.
Do we know that for sure?
No, but
no, yeah, we don't know that for sure, but that's likely.
We don't know. We don't even know what the Xbox is going to be.
Mm. Right.
I just think, like,
there's been no talk.
With how Halo has been running the past 10 years, pretty much almost every game, every installment having, you know, going over the top with the special editions. But yeah, like right now, where we are now, it is refreshing for the fans and for the general consumer, for there to be just one option. But then with this new trilogy, they can build it up as they go along and then go back to going all out later on.
Right.
Yeah.
Now I could see them doing maybe like an ODST type Halo thing for an Xbox launch, but
what do you mean?
Well, do something like a side story, like ODST was.
Well, hold on.
Oh,
kind of out of band of
the next Xbox.
For the if
like as a launch title, you mean?
No, but you know what you guys are forgetting about?
I mean, that'd be the only thing I could think of if the Xbox comes out.
You know what?
Off cycle for Halo 4 releases.
Yeah.
Right, Halo in terms of Master Chief.
Yeah. Well,
if they wanted to do Halo, which they might not end up doing. Sorry, Key, I keep on cutting you off.
No, I know. But it's like this just fits right in there. But what about all that content they plan to make for Halo 4?
What
do you mean with episodic? With the Spartan Ops?
Yeah, that's supposed to be different. They say every week.
Yeah,
that's a lot of content.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I think that makes sense.
But they're going to be working. That's why this is it. This is our last on the Xbox 360, probably our last Xbox title.
Yeah.
In terms of Halo, probably.
Well, it's all the people.
It's fine.
It's all the people out there who looked at the limited edition details and said to themselves, oh, only 3 map packs over the game's lifespan? Well, yeah, there's only 3 multiplayer map packs, but you know, they're also going to be releasing the Spartan Ops all the time, which is going to take up tons of resources. So it all kind of, I mean, there is a lot there overall at the end
DLC
of the day.
Well, I mean, if you look at it,
DLC
Reach had 3 map packs.
It's a good deal, I think.
Yeah, but Reach,
not always.
I think we all know, Halo 4 is going to be probably way bigger than Reach ever was. If they do things right, of course.
Oh, yeah, it will be. Yeah, it will be bigger.
Yeah.
It's massive.
Halo Reach wasn't, I mean, it was successful, of course. Yeah, absolutely. But not successful enough to, to make people be like, oh, we need more. Like, where are they? The way Halo Reach kind of like worked out in the big picture, people were like, okay, like only those couple of map packs, like not overly surprised, like content with that, whatever.
People underestimate the power of the Master
of the Dark Side.
No. The Chief.
Yeah. It's very true.
The Chief, the continuation of that, that's Halo 3 with boom. It's the Halo 3 to Halo 4, the Master Chief. That's the part of this that's going to make it bigger than Reach.
Right.
Reach was,
and possibly bigger than Halo 3.
Yeah, possibly. Well, just now, the sheer number of gamers, it should always go up. Should always go up. In this kind of, in a trilogy, it's got, you know, the four attached to it. That's a big part of it, too. That number four is big. The Halo 4. It's a simple core Halo game. Reach is definitely, they marketed it that such. Reach was a culmination thing. It's like your best hits, the greatest hits album.
Exactly.
That's what Reach was. But that's one of the greatest hits albums ever. You know, it was a good, very good. So it reached more than people. Oops, pardon the pun. It reached more people than I think they ever imagined. And, you know, I remember that thing we stumbled upon? Remember we had that outtake a while back about the on Podtacular?
Well, yeah.
The outtake we had about what with Brent Gamer. Where is Brent, by the way? I miss him.
He's off doing his own thing somewhere.
Ah, Brent. We while we were recording a show, we saw an article for
we had an epiphany of something.
Yes. No. Well, the article said that Bungie was like they were talking of something in a press, and they said Reach is going to be big. Da, 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 da. And some of the writers at I think it was Kotaku. He was saying that, you know, Bungie's like, you know, you're not gonna, you know, that you guys are drinking your own Kool-Aid too much. You're not that good. And you know, it was like kind of really blatant. Like, it was obvious that the writer was so anti-Halo, like you shouldn't be writing that. It wasn't an editorial piece.
Mm-hmm. Looks like someone didn't get the memo.
Yeah, exactly. And it was, and Reach was, and everybody, and all the replies, it was heavily, you know, it definitely hit the tops of everybody's radar. Everybody was like, all right. And right away, too, while we were on the show, and we talked about it, like a little excerpt after the recording, because we were cursing quite a bit. We were pissed. I don't know. Articles never usually
bother me.
Wasn't
that a long time ago?
That one bothered me. What?
That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
That was a long time ago, yeah. I think I saved it, too.
Maybe you did. Maybe you asked me to send it to you.
It was a good one. But you did put it up as a, what do you usually put it up as?
Oh, I did?
Yeah. It's a post. You put it up there, but you warned everybody that we were cursing a lot.
That was either 240s or 260s then.
Something like that.
I have to go back and look.
But the point of that too was, you know, Reach was definitely bigger, but not bigger than Halo 3. But Reach was big. But Halo 4? Hey. Beep.
Yep.
I'm trying to be good.
Well, I have 10 hits so far.
That's way under than my usual.
Hey. All right. Well, before we increase the count, let's get back to the limited edition stuff. There's also going to be a UNSC Infinity briefing packet, which includes armor customization schematics. So I'm guessing they'll detail what you can customize on your armor for your Spartan 4. A blueprint of the Infinity ship, which, as most people know by now, is the largest ship in the UNSC fleet to date. What is it? Like, how big is it? It's 3 times longer than the next class of ship or something? I forget.
That's what she said.
They had some metric on it somewhere. I forget where it was. And that also includes some information behind the Spartan 4s. So,
oh, yeah, physical lore things. I like those. It's like Halley's Journal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are cool.
Those will be interesting to see when those come out, which I still have.
That's the
I'm a horrible person. I still haven't looked at the Halsey's Journal yet. I'm a horrible person.
Most of it, you'll be like, what are they even talking about?
Yeah.
But some of it's all, you know, it's decent enough.
I'll get to it when I finish reading the books.
Well, you can actually tell reading it that it's where the parts where they really want you to pay attention, they can tell you where they're baiting you to it. There's a lot of stuff in there.
Definitely isn't like, podcasting anymore. He's playing Halo Reach.
No, I do both. I can't just like just sit here and do nothing. I need to like be doing something.
Interesting.
Well, I'm actually doing nothing.
You know, it's like saying, you know, I never know what to do with my hands. That's why I smoke.
Oh my god.
No, I don't smoke.
Wow. I did not realize how annoying that soundboard would get.
Oh, come on. I'm being good with it.
Yeah. You're being good with it. Doesn't mean it's not annoying.
Nah, you know what? I need better stuff. Like, I want to put...
Okay, I'm not giving you any ideas. Moving on.
No, like Sergeant Johnson. Come on, you'd love that.
Bonus digital content, which comes with the limited edition, also includes unique in-game Spartan 4 armor skin. And the community at large doesn't really know exactly what they mean by armor skin. What that means could be something like a paint job or maybe military camo that you would see. Like you have the winter camo, the forest camo, the regular camo, that kind of stuff. So we'll have to see what exactly they mean by skin.
That sounds... The color... I would assume it's... Colorish.
Yeah, I would assume it's very more like a paint job.
Paint job.
Yeah, not armor customization, but paint job.
Paint job.
A unique in-game weapon skin for the assault rifle. Now they just say
it'll have flames on it.
They say just that's assault rifle only. So
a la Gears of War.
Is it?
Gears of War has a ton of weapon skins.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Like, the only thing I can think of close to it was Call of Duty skins. But those are, like, regular weapon camos.
Yuck, don't bring that nonsense up. Yuck.
You have to respect Call of Duty for the franchise that it is.
It's not. It's like saying respect Obama because he's the president. Are you serious?
Yeah.
No.
You still respect him because he's the president. You might not agree with him.
I don't respect the socialists running the country into debt.
You got issues. Exclusive in-game emblem, so that's to be determined. Xbox Live avatar prop, possibly something new weapon-like we'll probably see, or maybe some new Forerunner technology that we'll have as a prop, who knows. And then an Xbox Live avatar Spartan 4 armor set, and I think everyone saw that coming, especially with all the armor that we have from Halo Reach and the Mjolnir armor that you can get.
Mjolnir.
In any color for your avatar currently.
Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
Mjolnir. Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
Finally, the last bit of thing that we have in the limited edition is some special edition content of the Machinima series that will come out in October, Forward Into Dawn.
Did you say Machinima?
Yes.
It's not Machinima.
Well, they said Machinima like in somewhere.
I thought it was live action.
It's live action, but they said it's going to be released on Machinima Channel, so it's like, kind of. Yes, it is. Okay, so yes, to clarify, it is live action, but it's being released on Machinima Channel on YouTube and on Weibo.
I corrected the...
Don't get comfortable with it.
No, but you...
Although I do misspeak a lot, so...
I
misspeak on a regular basis. You know this.
Yeah, I know. I do know this. How come?
Because we've been spending too much time together. I saw that coming. So the special edition stuff that we will have for the Forward Into Dawn is an extended 90-minute version of the digital series. So what I'm guessing is that there's going to be an extra sixth episode that they're going to include in the limited edition specifically. The live-action series is supposed to be 5 episodes that runs about 75 minutes, so about 15 minutes per show. And this is probably going to be something like we're going to see that would be almost on the level of a Halo movie.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that? Because this does seem like a good way to go about seeing how successful a Halo movie would be, but they're putting a lot of effort into it by getting some Hollywood talent involved with this thing. So might this kind of be considered the Halo movie already?
Or... Well, not the Halo movie, but...
No. It's a...
Yeah, not the Halo movie,
It's a precursor. It's a possible precursor to a Halo movie.
The Halo movie? No, not that. Listen, the bar has been raised severely high on what a Halo movie needs to be, especially after something like The Avengers just came out, all the other movies that are coming out right now.
Joss Whedon would make a good director, by the way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, Joss Whedon is probably the, he pretty much can, he owns the world right now.
I'll bet you a copy of Halo 4 that right now, Nathan Fillion is going to be in this thing.
Hmm?
I would almost be willing to bet a copy of Halo 4 that Nathan Fillion is going to be in this thing.
In the movie? If it was, they
in,
made a movie?
No, in Ford and the Dawn. In the live action series.
That would be hot.
No. The Halo movie should be directed by Spielberg. Therefore, Master Chief can be played by Spielberg's buddy, a Hollywood liberal who hates America, Tom Hanks. Yes.
Look at that, dude! I like how you worked that in there. That was
so. So they can make millions bastardizing Halo.
That was an amazing amount of connections you made right there.
Too political for my taste.
And then later on, Tom Hanks can go on the camera at the premiere and talk about how the Human Covenant War was a war of racism and ignorance on the human side, similar to his comments about the Pacific War during World War II.
Segway?
Yes.
Anyone? Ooh, comments!
Goodness gracious.
Listen, this is Podtacular.
Gosh, I was even stopped dead in my tracks. Along with the special edition of Forward Unto Dawn, we have some in-fiction content that kind of goes into the characters and the stories that are wrapped up in this Forward Unto Dawn series. We have a making of Halo 4 Forward Unto Dawn, so we'll probably have some behind-the-scenes look on how they're making it. Probably some director commentary or actor commentary, stuff like that. And there's also going to be a special featurette titled Bringing Gaming into Reality. So probably probably a little video just probably talking about how they got some of the Halo 4 assets produced in real life and how they brought it to life for this live action series. That'd be my guess. It's kind of taking the technology from the game and describing how they would implement it for the live action series. I need to stop saying Machinima. Live action series.
Very good.
Also, in that press release, we got...
Wait. We didn't get the comment on it at all? Would you talk about
it? Oh, if you want to. Comments about the special edition to Forward Unto Dawn. Do you guys have any?
This, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff and all that fun stuff. How many times do you watch that stuff, though?
Behind the scenes?
Yeah.
I've watched Rooster Teeth behind the scenes quite a bit.
Oh, no. How, like, more than once of the... Not, like, you watch every episode, but...
No, but the behind the scenes stuff...
Watch them over and
stuff
over.
Stuff I like. I don't like watching them over and over and over again, but I've watched some things I like three or four times.
I think it's worth it, but I'm just curious about that. I don't find myself pulling out, like, old behind-the-scenes stuff too much, unless it's related to a show or something like that. But, you know, once you've watched it, most of the time it just sticks. You remember?
Not all the time.
No?
Well, sometimes you go back and you pick up on little things that you might have missed before, you might have forgotten. It's like, oh, that's right. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, the flashbacks. People do it for you now. You don't even have to. You don't have to go watch that stuff anymore. People pull it out for you.
So I think it's...
That's good. It's very...
It's at least... I mean, you at least watch it once.
Which I think is worth it. And that's kind of what I was saying, too. It's just like, how often do you watch it? But I still like to have it on the whole experience and something that I like. Like you do it that night around that time. It's all part of it. It's not, you got to look at the dollar value to that, not related to, you know, even if it's just a collectible, just that experience, that one night. It's like you went to a big show.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, I'm wondering if this stuff is going to be on that DVD.
What stuff?
The Ford and the Dawn live action series, when we get with the limited edition.
Yeah,
can't speak tonight.
I don't know, does it?
I mean, they didn't say it explicitly, but the only other delivery method that I can think of is that you get it from Waypoint.
And it's all supposed to be done by the end of, before it launches, right?
What, for Ford and the Dawn?
Yes. The live
I would assume filming and stuff would be done before they start releasing it.
Okay. So, yeah, I would hope that would be on the limited edition.
But, I mean, like, how would they deliver it?
I don't know.
Would it be, like, just a two-disc game where one disc is Ford and the Dawn and it's a DVD?
I don't know. Well, you're talking about how long it is. How big it's going to be.
90 minutes.
90 minutes.
90 minutes.
So that's one DVD.
Yep.
So that's it.
Indeed. So moving on to...
That answers that.
Yeah, that answers that. Moving on to Halo 4 Infinity Multiplayer. We got a little bit more information about Spartan Ops. And that it's going to be basically run by cinematic episodes that gets delivered through Waypoint. And you're actually going to be playing scenarios down on Requiem that these cinematic episodes set up for. So those happen every week, and you can play these solo or cooperatively, but the only downside is that you have to have gold in order to play Spartan Ops.
Yeah, that's right. If you don't have gold, then what the hell are you doing listening to this show? Seriously? I'm so sick of hearing it.
Well, talk to Fumo. He doesn't pay for gold.
Really?
I think it's a fine move, you know? It's like, we pay for gold. Give us some bonuses above the silver people, you know?
Well, it's almost like you're downloading new stuff every week, and you normally don't get downloads if you're a silver account.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. We're paying money. Give us things for paying money. Absolutely.
You're not gold?
Who?
Me?
Yeah.
No, he's gold. Agreeing with us. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, us gold members, we're paying money for every month for, like, give us nice things that the silver people don't get. You know, pay for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get more, but yeah, it just sounds like only one option. I mean, I think that's the point. You don't have an Xbox without a gold account. It's just, I can understand the option to be that, but they actually shouldn't. They should just call it a non-internet account or something. Not gold versus this. It's,
well, you have gold and silver.
The silver makes it sound like it's somewhat good.
Yeah, it should be like
that's
Xbox
the naming
Iron
is what
something.
I have a problem with.
Or Xbox Wood.
Xbox yes, or Xbox
no.
I think so.
I mean, there's the 48-hour golds that get released to everyone out every once in a while. So,
yeah. Well, what's that? What's that new Xbox that came out with? What do you pay like? $20
the subscription thing. Yeah,
it's kind of. I don't know. It's the only problem I have with it is it doesn't have a big hard drive.
Yeah, it has that 4 gig thing, right?
Yeah, that's not gonna fly.
Yeah,
that's not gonna fly with big gamers.
I like my Reach Xbox with my 250 gig hard drive.
Yeah, I mean, there's just too much going on.
Although Xbox hard drives are still way too expensive.
Well, yeah, that's done.
I mean, they've gotten better, but
that was done.
They've gotten better, but they're still too expensive. Anywho.
Well, the cloud helps. That cloud save game is actually a pretty good thing.
It's slow. It's like I have fast upload and download, but the cloud storage is still slow.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't do any of that cloud crap.
Well, how many Xboxes do you have?
One.
See?
So you don't have
I
to
have
do
two.
Crap.
I have two Which Xboxes.
The people's houses is the only thing. I have two, too. Two, two, two.
Two, two, two.
I have two, two.
Two, 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 two.
And yes, the cloud works good for that, but you still got to worry. You got to consider where you're going to install your games and DLC.
Yeah.
That's still kind of a pain in the ass in a bit, but
it's just a matter of like where you have your consoles, how you typically play or where you play.
But the cloud saves is good though.
The cloud saves are nice.
Definitely a good thing. You saves one place. You just install if you have several Xboxes, that's a freaking pain in the ass. You gotta install all the shit in the DLC on every Xbox. That's a pain, yeah.
Yeah.
But
the only downside to the cloud storage is that you have 512 megs for total for every profile on your local Xbox.
Right.
Like you don't have 512 for one gamertag and then 512 for another gamertag. You have 512 only.
Only. Right.
Which kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's a weird limitation, but who knows? They make it black and white.
So. That's just a little downside to the cloud storage. But other than that, it works. Works okay.
It works.
You know, it works is debatable, but it works.
It's still better, I think, than I don't know. It works. Most of the time, the Xbox works. Like all the things that you needed to do, most of the time it works. The software, anyway. I'm not talking about the hardware. I'm talking about the software. Like for the most part,
works for 3 years and then it just craps out.
Yeah, it's all right. I take software over hardware. You can fix hardware. You can fix software, but I want the software to be ahead of the hardware.
Right. Let's move on.
Yeah.
War Games is now the corner that you're going to have all your multiplayer experience in terms of Slayer, Capture the Flag, Oddball, all the stuff that you're used to, and then whatever else. 343 is now adding into the multiplayer mix. The multiplayer Kool-Aid, so to speak.
The Kool-Aid,
yes. So that's going to be all the stuff that you're going to have in the virtual sims while you're on the UNSC Infinity. So we have an official title for that.
The holodeck.
The holodeck, yes. It's the holodeck. War it's games on the holodeck.
Yeah, big. I hope we could fight in New York City. Would that be awesome? Come on. It could be Spartan and Halo, and they just do New York City in a holodeck. That'd be DLC or something.
That's a lot of stuff to model.
Not all of New York, of course.
Well, section. But still.
Like the zoo.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, I've never been to the New York Zoo, so I don't know what it looks like.
Well, it would be a small map.
The question would be, would you have the animals running around in there and you could shoot the animals?
Yeah, future animals.
They're future animals.
Moas, maybe they had some.
Moas were on Reach, though, not Earth.
Yeah, but they could brought them to a zoo on Reach, on Earth. Why not?
I guess.
The atmosphere is good. They probably could live there.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
It's a long journey for Moas to make.
Not a problem with the Fuchsia Yukoyama Yumayama Drive.
Yeah, I don't know how to say that either.
We lost Daft. Das Boot.
Hey. So basically, Michael Jackson died talentless and broke.
Wow!
And you know that when he died, he was $5 million in debt.
Let's die.
So in other words, there are now similarities between Michael Jackson and Barack Obama. Michael Jackson lived above his means and ran himself into debt. Barack Obama is running the country into debt. What?
Nice.
There are a faction of the listeners who appreciate this.
Oh, yeah, but I've gotten a lot of complaints about it.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh.
Who, really? Who, from liberals?
Dude, is there
I don't know if they're liberal or not.
In the forums on Podtacular? Do you have a political...
Daft has created his own corner.
Wait, do you genuinely think that a conservative listener would complain about my views?
I have no clue. I don't follow politics.
They would not.
You can't ask that
question. I follow Halo, and this is a Halo podcast. That's why I talk about Halo stuff on here.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, pretend you're talking to robots, because we don't talk anything but Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's such a driven man.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's talk about some other things that happened this week. Let's do a quick fire.
Politics, that would be cool.
Let's do a quick fire on the rest of the stuff, and that way we can get the submissions that we told people we were going to read. Hmm?
Go.
I'm totally confused now. Anyways.
Do what you say.
From.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
They also. For those of you who didn't see, they also released slivers of a puzzle to most everyone. It was a big Xbox thing, so if you're subscribed to the Xbox newsletter, you would have gotten a little sliver or your piece of the puzzle.
A slice.
And what it was actually a piece to the Halo 4 box art for the game. So if you've already pre-ordered your game, you have already seen it. If not, then it's been posted just about everywhere that you can think of.
It didn't last long.
No.
When the puzzle went out, like it went within, I think within
15 minutes.
Half hour. Yeah.
15 minutes.
15 minutes, yeah, okay.
It was yeah. It was right around 15 minutes.
I don't know how long they intended that to last. That's why I was a little confused.
Well, if you read the bulletin.
No, I was at work and then like I got emails. I got two. I got one from Xbox, then I got one from Jessica.
I got one from Jessica first, and then I got, and I can't get my email at work, so I came back and I had it sitting in my inbox. And then after I personally solved the puzzle again, not knowing that it was already out there. And then I got another one from Xbox a little bit later.
Yeah, I know. I was, but then you knew, but I got them both at the same time, so.
Hmm.
So I was just like, I'm puzzled. This, yeah. So, but then, yeah, then I saw a post like a half hour, maybe a little later. Just.
Yeah.
HBO. I think they solved it in HBO or something.
Yeah, they did. Well, they solved it on Gaff.
Oh, it was Gaff?
And then someone posted it from Gaff onto HBO, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's usually how that goes.
Goes out pretty quick, doesn't it?
No, Gaff to HBO, actually.
Oh, well, yeah.
That
path? Yeah. They're crazy over there. We also have, for the Avatar collection for May, is a drop pod for your avatar. So you can go download that for 320 Microsoft points right now. Which I'm thinking about going and buying. Not sure yet.
You.
And all of the Halo Reach DLC is 50% off this week.
Coincidence? I think not!
Okay. Coincidence to what?
I don't know. Halo. Just get Halo on the table.
Halo's already on the table. That's what we're talking about,
no,
right?
No. I mean, you talk about the DLC being cheap, right?
Half off, yes. Yeah.
This week, right?
Right.
What am I missing here?
I don't know. What am I missing?
You said the Reach DLC was half price this week, right?
Right.
The same time all this Halo stuff is being announced.
Right. Okay.
Marketing.
It's 11 o'clock. Give me a break.
Marketing.
Build up marketing hype and revenue. Yes, it's called
marketing. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
What'd you say, Daff?
Hype revenue. Yes. Marketing. Yes.
I'm not a marketing expert. I don't know these things. That's marketing, dude.
Free market, man.
I mean, Halo happens a lot, but there are these are definitely coordinated events.
Yep. I can see where you're going with that. Definitely.
You do now.
I do now. Indeed, I do. All right, let's get on to submissions. The last week we had three episodes that we talked about stuff. One was talking about Cortana's mind and what's going on with the story between Halo 3 and Halo 4 with Master Chief. We also talked about the railgun, and then we talked about some other multiplayer stuff. Spartan Ops, Forge, and other little random multiplayer goodies that we'll see in Halo 4. We haven't seen much stuff in terms of Halo 4 campaign yet, in terms of the Chief. I have a feeling we'll probably see a lot of that stuff come out of E3.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee you at E3 we'll get, like, an on-stage campaign demo.
Yeah, we'll get some kind of we'll get a campaign trailer and a campaign demo, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we'll see at E3 this year.
With those new Watchers and Crawlers, right?
Oh, do they have names now?
Yeah, the two new enemies. They were real, yeah. The bug-looking floaty one or whatever is the Watcher, the one that looks like a freaking greyhound is like
a dog.
Is a crawler, yeah.
All right. Forerunner?
Who knows?
Who knows?
They're kind of blurry. I've been saying this for a million years, but the enemies, you know, definitely Forerunner related somehow, like absolutely.
Right.
Now if these enemies, these creatures, I mean obviously the picture is kind of blurry. I get the feeling that there'll be some kind of Forerunner-esque, like, yet organic creature, like, maybe made out of, like, some kind of, like, silvery Forerunner, you know, substance, like an organic, like, life organism complex. Because they look silvery in those pictures, so I feel like it's, like, you know, it's the Forerunner. Like their motif, so to speak, their theme, but these are like living, breathing organisms, maybe made out of some kind of like metallic, like organic, you know, composition, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
that's just a theory.
Oh no, there's just lots of room for speculation right now. So we just, I mean, that could be as good of a guess as any right now.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, we'll see when more information comes down the line.
Yeah.
All right. So getting to submissions. So our first submission is from Reverend Chist Lab. And we have a little edit point in here. We've decided on a community basis that we're going to split this up amongst ourselves and read this out.
Let me read the first one, please.
Who? You?
Yeah, I'll just summarize. Okay. Basically, he's a college student in North Carolina. Whoa, a college student. Hopefully the indoctrination isn't too rampant there. he made a long post. He has frustration that he wants to vent to us. Read Game Informer stuff on multiplayer, and he's very skeptical. So, yeah, boy, you got a critic here.
Yeah.
So why don't you guys take the second one?
All right.
First, I would like to say I'm officially pissed off by Brad Welch. Who's Brad Welch?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, somebody Google that.
I'm Googling it.
And I'll probably kick myself. I don't think this man has any idea of repercussions that these changes can have on a game. He's probably a multiplayer director. These types of changes have completely ruined games in the past. The problem is not solely on the changes being made, but the effect it can have on the community. I, as an avid Halo fanatic, will always welcome evolution in the Halo franchise. But what he's doing is not the right direction, in my opinion. Okay, he's setting it up. He doesn't like the way Halo 4 multiplayer is, and he pretty much sees all the stuff. So go ahead. Now, Duststorm, your turn.
Well, first hit on Google says multiplayer something.
Okay.
So probably multiplayer director or something like that. Not exactly sure. Sorry, a little lacking on the information right there.
It's okay.
So he goes on to say, I'm speaking of the loadout and ranking system for multiplayer. Having players increase their ranks is fine for showing their commitment, but when you bring rewards into the picture, you are treading on the very thin ice. You're treading on very thin ice. If you let one player have access to better gear for playing longer, you will develop a caste system in the community. This can be witnessed by observing Call of Duty's system. With the COD ranking system, players gain access to better gear the longer and more often they play, making it very difficult for casual gamers or players that have bought the game for a few months after. There are many posts and videos focused on hate for top-tier gamers who literally have the best weapons and skills. This is a huge problem when many gamers buy the game day one and immediately within a week become the elite. These players are those extremists who play consecutively for days without stopping. When gamers encounter these players, they find themselves overwhelmed by the disadvantage they have. Many games try to remedy this by matching up players on their skill or rank. Unfortunately, this works only 80% of the time.
Okay.
So,
wait. This is awesome.
I don't see how this...
Awesome? The way he wrote this? Are you kidding? What?
So, I don't see how this... Like, I get what he's saying, but it's not... How is this being incorporated into Halo 4?
Okay. Well, he might be getting to that.
Everyone has the weapons available to them at some degree.
Okay. We're going to get to that. But just keep in mind, we're reading we're actually going through a big book we're reading with this guy. So let's go on his little journey with him. And he's setting us up. This is what he just said right there was spot on. The way I feel, in the way I think a lot of people feel about, or Halo people feel about Call of Duty, when it's not, you know, it's not equal at the start. He's setting it up, and he said it, I think he said it really good. So he's obviously going to get on to, you know, what we're going to be talking about, or the multiplayer, as far as it seems like, you know, it's the same. So, hold on. Now, see, this is what I hate about these big things. He's got me pulled in. I want to keep reading what he's saying. All right, so do you understand where he's going with this?
I don't see it how it relates to Halo too much.
Halo 4?
Yeah.
Well, no. But I think, if we want to just stop right there, because we could probably see where he's going. He's saying about loadouts and balance. I think that's pretty much where he's going, right?
Well, I love how he calls the players who play many days without stopping extremists. So, extremists. So is the new term for a casual gamer like what, a moderate, right?
Well, listen, I'll tell you this. I like how he says when somebody who's played the game for just a week straight is automatically in elite status. And that is the case a lot now.
Yeah, it means the person liked the game a lot and they put their time and effort into getting there. They worked for it. Good for them.
Yeah,
they're the rich people of the matchmaking at that point.
I can't play Call of Duty now if I wanted to. I'm so late to the game. I can't play Call of Duty now, but I'm okay with that.
What do you mean, the series as a whole or Modern Warfare 3?
But I don't want to either. But I don't want to play Call of Duty.
I don't play Call of Duty.
I know. That's it. That's the point, too, though. But there's some people who want to play those games at their leisure. And they can't enjoy it because there's no system for someone to just jump into the game.
Oh, so he's saying these could be
good. But they can't just—you can't just jump in that stuff.
Oh, I get what you mean. So you're saying you make like a new account, you go on, you know, let's say Modern Warfare 3 right now, you know, start at level 1, start your progression, and you're fighting with rocks while the prestige people in the same game as you are basically like dropping nukes on you.
Right.
That is a little annoying. I mean, I think Halo just does it, you know, perfectly, right? Like the power weapons are just there for people to grab. Like everyone has equal opportunity, not equal success.
That's Halo. Right there is the essence of Halo. Mm. You can jump into Halo and play.
I thought you just meant getting a high rank and getting lots of armor and stuff. Because I mean, if, you know, someone has the time and effort and they want to, you know, put it into that game for a week straight, you know, why not?
Yeah, but as long as it doesn't take away from being able to just jump in. And it seems to be, I think the developers are really starting to get creative. I think that's what 343 is doing. They're getting creative with the Halo formula in order to be able to just jump in and still have a progression system that's still attractive. Maybe there's that formula. Who are we to say?
What is this now? The Xbox 360 commercial? Jump in.
Who are we to know? We don't know. I gotta, you know, these guys are way smarter than we are.
No, I know. This Rev Chris Lab guy is propped up by TARP funds, which is the Republican Party itself.
I love it. Who you vote?
I don't know.
I also love the TARP, if that's what you're indicating.
I just want to know what Bungie's next game is, all right? I am so...
It's probably an MMO.
I don't know. I'm just trying
to change the subject.
That seems to be kind of general consensus.
And if anyone's speculating about Marathon 4, that already happened. It's called Halo 1, all right?
There wasn't any anger in that at all.
So, this person just keeps on going on talking about loadouts.
Yeah, no, I think we nailed it.
And, well, he's talking about about loadouts specifically. And, I mean, we have loadouts in Reach. It didn't kill Reach. Granted, Armor Lock was kind of a stupid decision in the end. No,
Armor Lock killed a little bit of Reach. Definitely, yes.
Right.
There's always something in the game, right? Reach has its Armor Lock, right?
Yeah.
The game has some little thing.
But
maybe some games have more than one.
I don't know. And I don't exactly remember when this thing got submitted, but it's just with how he's describing how he thinks loadouts is gonna work, it just doesn't seem that Halo 4 is gonna be that way. Cause he goes in talking about how Halo's been more geared towards you start with a basic weapon set and you go out and you find power weapons. And, I mean, I tried looking through this as fast as I could, but it just seems like maybe, I don't know how to put it into words. I think the loadout system, how it's been defined now, is, I don't know.
All right, listen.
I'm honestly speechless with this post because he makes a lot of good points. It's just
he needs to do a little more research. That's all. And that's fine.
I honestly think how the loadouts.
He's very deep in his submission, but you got to do a little more research. I mean, we do. I'm not saying we know all of that, but. Come on, there is a point to... You got to watch the interviews. You got to watch the developers when they actually, especially now, with the transfer from Bungie to 343, there is a lot of little interviews that give you clues on their direction. And 343 has been pretty upfront with their what their vision is. So.
Right. And it's not like you're not going to be able to swap a rocket launcher or a shotgun or anything.
Right. It's not power weapons. Dude, power weapons are spawning randomly on the maps. That's going to be the...
Right.
And that could be in only certain playlists. That's what you got to... Playlists will save you. You watch your regular Halo, it'll be there. It'll be in a playlist for you. Definitely now, especially crossing from two studios. They were doing it already in Reach.
Right.
And especially since 343 takeover, look how much they were able to tweak it. There's nothing you have to worry about, people.
And one of the things that they are focusing on is keeping balance in the game. It's not like they're just going to throw common sense out the window when it comes to people having played the game for a lot longer going to have this outrageous advantage over noobs like it is in Call of Duty. That's one of the reasons I like Halo a lot better is because everyone starts out on a level playing field in Halo, and even with Reach where you have loadouts, you still have the choice of your loadout, and a lot of people will pick the weapon and armor ability that goes a lot better with their playing style, but it's still even. Everyone has a chance to choose their stuff to begin with. And even if we have these armor specializations, if that's what they end up being, or customizations that we have for our loadouts, it's still going to be a base set of weapons that are pretty much well balanced anyways.
Right.
So the weapons that we've seen so far that are pretty much guaranteed to be in this initial set is the DMR, the BR, and the AR. All three of those weapons have their weaknesses and strengths.
Yep.
And they all pretty much balance out.
And they will balance
throughout a duration of a game.
Yeah, they're not going to be the balancing of from those other games. They can balance it within that game. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, your BR is going to feel different than your Halo 3 BR and your Halo 2 BR in Halo 4. It's right. going to feel different. Know that going into it, and you're going to be just fine, people. Just that's it. Right. Don't expect it to feel the same. Go into it, no, it's going to be different. And that's all I got to say.
Yeah.
That's it.
Last two lines of his submissions.
Yes.
Because we do need to wrap this up. Yep. Daft already had to leave.
Yes.
So.
Goodbye, Daft.
He says, the skill system still worries me, though. With the addition of unlockable skills, games can become one-sided very quickly. Here's to hoping for some disclosure on this. And yes, wait. We're probably looking into some disclosure later. But as I've kind of dabbled in the idea that and speculated on it's going to be stuff like maybe you get your ammo clip is a little bit more, or maybe you can sprint for just a little bit longer. I don't think it's going to be skills that adversely affect the game. I think it's just going to be stuff that kind of enhances your playing style.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be something that is going to be impossible to overcome or hard to overcome for people that are just getting into Halo. They're still going to be able to get you down if they can point and shoot at you and hit you with enough bullets.
Right.
So, one of the core things of Halo is that there's balance.
Balance.
And that's always been one of the core features.
Balanced games, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why Halo is as popular as it is. Because of balance.
Yep.
And Call of Duty is just, in our opinion.
Well, listen, I can't
because
say.
I've gone into Call of Duty games and gotten my ass kicked.
I played once, and I did get my ass kicked. But I know everybody else does that, too.
But the point of that is that all these players have all these really nice weapons that you can't even compare to. You don't have weapons that can balance against some of these other weapons that are out there.
Yeah, but hold on. But let's back up for a second. But still, that's still the Call of Duty type of gameplay where you just want to keep playing and keep getting over that mountain can still apply. Like, and it, you know,
it's not a balanced game.
Yeah, but in the multiplayer,
by a long
some people
shot.
Like that kind of multiplayer. I don't like that.
Some
kind
people do.
Some people do. I mean, a lot of people do. So
the people who do are the ones that play Call of Duty. The people that don't are the people that play Halo.
I'm not anti Call of Duty and all everything it's doing, and the style of what they're doing. You know, somewhat that caters to the more aggressive player. There's some less aggressive players who play it too, but maybe there's something else that attracts them to it that's not the aggressive part, but it's more of a completion part. Fine. It just, overall, that's definitely not the kind of player I am. But Halo, that's what's funny about Halo. It's like, normally, I wouldn't play a Halo game like aggressive. I like some aggressive games and everything, and the multiplayer's got to be kick action crazy. Halo does that. Mm-hmm. Gears of War does that. But it's also got to be something where the controls and everything just are easy to dive into and just go, you know, flow. And Call of Duty definitely does that. But why I'm not Call of Duty is just simply because I'm definitely like I'll tell you. Hey, all right. This is the kind of game player I am. I've only played maybe one night of Arena, and that's it, in Reach. Okay? I mean, is that it?
Yeah.
Does that explain it in a way? I'm just interested in a good multiplayer experience matchmaking. Like, the matchmaking is good. That's why I love Halo 2.
And like Halo, that whole Halo seems to have more of the fun aspect to it for some reason.
Which one?
Halo.
Yeah, well,
because I'll play Call of Duty with friends that I have online, and we'll have a good time. But I have a whole lot more fun playing Halo.
Me too. I guess that's why we're here.
Because you have random warthog explosions, it's like, oh, that was cool. Where in Call of Duty, it's like, oh, I just got knifed all the way across the map. Lame. So maybe it's just because I don't get enough kick out of it, and that's why I like Halo both in Call of Duty. But in terms of the campaign and the storyline, Halo definitely has Call of Duty beat hands down in terms of campaign story.
That's correct.
So, anyways, thanks, Revan Chist Lab, for sending your submission in. It was just too long for us to read the whole thing. But for those of you who want to read his submission, he has some good points.
Are we going to read more?
Not to take that away from him. It's just really long.
Shit, there's some more long ones in here, too. Oh, are we going to read more?
Yeah, we're going to read more. We got to read the rest of them. We got a shotgun these.
Okay, let's go.
I'm getting tired, and
yes,
we still got a few more to go. So Jimmy Schmoo writes in. Okay. So if you guys are doing Halo 4 campaign episode next, and this was actually a while back.
I'm not your daddy.
Oh, goodness. I have a few questions. Do you guys think that the precursors will be in Halo 4 or have a big part in it? We'll answer the questions at the end. At the end of the first concept trailer, art trailer, I believe that the last shaky image was a precursor. Also, I'm wondering if indeed there are forerunners in Halo 4, how they're going to do that with the gameplay. The didact... sentence.
Didact.
The didact was 16 or 14 feet tall. Yeah, it's didact.
Oh, didact. Okay.
16 or 14 feet tall, it will make you feel small. Last thing, if indeed that magazine leak that had the Master Builder as the Halo 4 enemy, that would mean that we'd be fighting Forerunners and the Didact / Born Stellar would be fighting with us, which would be awesome. Thanks and sorry for whoever had to read this. Thank you. Apology accepted. So, precursors, awesome. I don't think we'll see a direct presence from them. And I think neither of us are the campaign experts here.
No.
That would be Grim Brother 1, Slightly Live.
So get him in here. Get Grim Brother 1 in here.
Well, so when we were talking about the campaign stuff, they were on here. So
no, get them now, I said.
Oh, are they online?
No, get them. Try them.
No, neither of them are online.
Okay.
That sucks. Anyways, he says the first image in the concept trailer was a precursor.
Don't know. Precursor. If it is, then that's pretty. Whole thing. If there's a precursor in Halo 4, that's a big.
I don't think
big event.
I don't think they would play that card this early in the trilogy.
Exactly. Like.
I think they would hint at it at the end.
Or definitely early in the marketing.
Right, I think it would be something at the end where you would get a glimpse of the precursors and be like, oh, this is what we're going to see in Halo 5.
Right.
Like something lurking off in the shadows where the Chief doesn't experience firsthand, but we,
I think,
playing the game,
yeah,
see that it's there.
I think it's safe to say we're going to see Forerunners in Halo 4. This is a whole trilogy. But this is a trilogy. We're not going to see Forerunners at the end of Halo.
Well,
this Halo trilogy.
We'll see Forerunner tech for sure.
Forerunner tech.
Enemies that are associated with the Forerunners, but I don't know if we'll explicitly see Forerunners.
I think we're going to see Forerunners in Halo 4. I am totally think so. I so think so. We got to see. Definitely. Without a doubt.
Well.
Yeah. Hey,
because the only Forerunners,
it's only, I mean, good. But
I'm still catching up on the books, but the only Forerunners are left
not
are
a secret anymore.
But how many Forerunners are actually left?
You know, there's some left.
Yeah, there's some, but how many?
More.
And aren't Forerunners
definitely
aren't
the path of the story?
I mean, looking at the terminals that we saw in Halo CE8, the Forerunners are shaped similar to us, so
Well, what's this planet, man? What's this Requiem? Is not...
It's a shield world.
Yeah, it's a shield world.
I know
but
that
it's
much.
A new one. So we don't... On the other shield worlds, we know that, that so far there hasn't been Fate Forerunners on them. Of the other shield worlds, so this is a new one. I'm gonna make a call. I definitely think we're gonna see Forerunners in this one.
My call is that we're not gonna explicitly see Forerunners. We'll see Forerunner tech. We'll see Forerunner.
I think we're gonna see early
ruins architecture, like real, and maybe enemies that are associated with the Forerunners. But I don't. My call is that we're not gonna see Forerunners explicitly in Halo 4.
Okay.
I could be wrong. We'll see.
In this episode, we made a stand. All right, let's do it this way then. I say we're going to see the Forerunner, see them, physically see them early in the game in Halo 4. That's mine. Yours, you're saying what?
Is that the chief in line and the rest of humans in terms of what the game portrays will not see Forerunners. We might see Forerunners in like a third person, but I don't think the chief will directly encounter.
No, I think
Forerunner.
Yeah, I think he will.
Okay.
Yes. Even more. I could remember they're also trying to bring this more down to a personal level with the chief. The chief will meet a Forerunner. That's my
maybe.
That's my thing. I'm sticking to it. All early right. in the game. So what's yours? Or am I convincing you?
I'm honestly going to say no. I'm going to stick with it.
Nice. If you feel it,
last
just
blurt level
it
doesn't
out.
Count. if it's at the end of a last level, like a cinematic or something, that doesn't count.
You know what? If there's going to be four, just to the little news we heard before about those two potentially Forerunner enemies. If we're going to run to Forerunner enemies, because we're going to eventually have to be friends with them.
Yeah.
Have to fight them first.
Yeah. I know. We'll see.
Okay. That's it.
I will be revealed.
That's all I got to say. That's all the information I have.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I'll take this next one since it's directly Podtacular related. Ninja X Fear writes in, will there ever be a Podtacular app for mobile or mobile version of the website? Simple answer, yes. You want to take the next one, Keith?
That's it?
Yep, simple answer is yes.
Oh, you working on it?
Simple answer is yes.
Ah, you don't know, no promises. Oh, my God. The Podtacular app. 10, 20,000 hits on iTunes. Ryan McNeil writes, what's these little ones and twos?
He has two submissions.
So. Oh, okay. Do you guys think that we'll be seeing any of the web series at E3? And I just want to know what you guys think would be in the Legendary Edition. As for Enemy to Halo 4, I'm hoping for Precursors. And they would be insane to fight and would make the Flood look like pansies. Thanks. All right, let's just deal with that one. But kind of a little bit Precursors that would fight. He's kind of talking about, like, even if we'd fight Forerunners. Like, we're going to fight. Master Chief is going to fight.
Something.
An ancient evil.
Yes.
So.
Ancient.
Yes. So ancient is precursor, maybe even evil. But ancient could also relate to Flood. But are we going to even have Flood in this game? Oh, who knows, man. That's what's so great about this. We have no idea. But they could bring back the Flood. It would still be okay to me.
Yeah, but a lot of people would be silently cursing
L343. They would.
I mean, yes, it would be the most epic plot twist ever being like reintroduced.
But they can.
But a lot of people would be yelling at 343.
Fight the Flood. That's what people get pissed about. Fighting the Flood. It's such a hard enemy. I actually like it.
It's just annoying.
It's like zombies to me. Zombie part of the game.
Well, that's pretty much what it is.
I love zombie games. So maybe that's why I like Halo.
Do you use zombie games? Do you use zombie games?
As for the web series at E3, any of it We'll probably see a little trailer at each.
Trailer, yes, but shows.
No, they're going to save that for August and September.
Right. October.
Yeah, or October, yes.
It's going to be week by week leading up to the launch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way you do marketing 101 right now. You can't spread it out too much. It's just too much overkill. And
yeah, we might see a trailer, like you said.
There's got to be something at E3 for Halo 4, definitely.
When is E3? That's 3 weeks
like
away,
isn't
it?
It's 2 weeks away. It's like quick, soon.
It's coming around the corner fast. Dang. So we'll have a lot of Halo
4. Oh, I know what the ladies like.
Oh, goodness. He has his St. Johnson's. Sergeant Johnson soundboard already.
That's a little loud, this thing I pulled up. It's terrible.
You want to read the second part? Feel free to admit the first part of the second part.
Don't make me take off my belt!
I don't remember hearing that one.
I know, there's so many lines from Halo you don't remember hearing. There's so many, so many lines of dialogue. But go ahead, the next one.
Read the next one.
Okay,
yeah.
Damn Obama followers. Oh, Daft Punk is not here.
I mean, Deathlink.
You guys do an awesome job with the show and keep things fresh and entertaining. The only thing I should suggest is just having more people kind of like the Waypoint moderators do theirs. It keeps conversations flowing a little better. All in all, guys, I love the show and keep fragging trucks. You know what?
So more people.
The waypoint.
I mean, I agree. It's just sometimes it's hard to get people on sometimes because sometimes the scheduling on this is kind of wonky depending on schedules.
But well,
they do a show like every 2 or 3 weeks, yeah, which is easier than for us where we do it every week.
Yeah, but they're also all the moderators. You know how easy it is to get all the moderators together to talk about the same thing? I'm not taking anything away from the podcast. I think it's an awesome idea. I love that idea. I love the fact that they have a podcast. The mod.
Yes.
It's awesome. It's a great idea. Beep.
Yep.
Well, at least I'm cueing you.
Oh, you've already missed a lot of other cues then.
So, I think it's a great idea. I love the modcast. But, you know what? They're definitely going to do a better job.
I mean,
they'll do a better job in what he's pointing out here. Like, you know,
conversations flowing. When it's just you and me right now, it's kind of hard because we don't have. I mean, once we get talking about something, we're like, yeah. And it just kind of stops.
The three people is good.
Three is a good number.
Three is a good number. It flows. It circles. It does circle around.
But there are times when threes can halt.
Yeah. I am finding that even more is better. And that's more what I was talking about before.
Have the only thing that you have to have a problem with is when you get with more. And that's, my grammar. The only problem is when you get four or more people, sometimes you have people start trampling over each other, and you have to have a really good moderator.
Yes.
And
are you a good moderator?
I'm not the best. You know what? Screw you two. Screw you two.
Yeah. All right, next.
Next is
Wonka Donkathon.
Yes. Go for it.
Hey, guys. I'm enjoying the podcast. Listening to you guys shoot about Halo helps me improve my time on the job. So thanks again. Anyway, I thought I'd give you my 2 cents on Forge improvements from your Speculatory Ops podcast. Forge is missing a few key options that I think would vastly improve its usability for everyone. They are, 1, an undo option.
Yes. Yes, I think everyone wants that.
Yes, I'm not even going to finish that. Chains of linked items. Chains of linked items. Yeah, I see where he's going with that.
No, that makes,
It's like
that'd be nice. It's like grouping objects.
Let me link these all together, and if this doesn't work out, if this track doesn't work out. And I'm not even a forger, and I can completely understand what he's talking about. Copy and paste, obviously. They don't have copy paste now?
No. That would be really nice for making symmetrical maps.
I still give forgers credits. then. Jeez. They don't have copy-paste?
No.
Oh, my God.
What they need is, and this kind of is expanding on what he's saying, but being able to group items and then manipulate those items as one item, as one block.
Right.
So you can rotate or invert or mirror or flip items.
Right.
And forge pieces. That'd make building maps probably cut down production time by about 75% for some maps that get made.
Yeah, that's why. Especially symmetrical ones. There.
I mean, you're talking about Griffball Court. You only have to make one quarter of the court, and then you can just copy paste the rest of it around. You're done.
Yeah, pretty much. I thought that's what they were doing all this time.
No.
Jeez.
You're talking piece by piece manipulation.
I knew there was a lot of options in Reach. I just thought that would have.
No, Ford, you had to be dedicated.
Yeah, I drifted away. I saw all the options in Reach Forge, and I also drifted away in Halo 3 too. I didn't, I only did a little bit, and it was fun, but I wasn't going to build again. I only did it like one and a half to two times.
Poor Keith.
I'm not a forger. I was when I was a kid, but not in video games. I don't have the patience.
Right.
Just I want
forging takes a lot of effort. A lot of time as well.
Well, no, I don't have that the creative. That I think it's an artistic side that some of these guys have that I don't have.
I mean, who's the person that makes all these maps? Like, he made Speed, he made Toilet Bowl, he made
what? A forger?
Yeah, there's a specific forger that makes these outrageous maps that are so much fun for playing customs on.
I'm out of touch.
I forget his name. Starts with a D. Yeah, but
well,
there's lots of good maps out there.
Well, this guy definitely. If those are that's definitely basic. Let me ask you guys this: I don't play Minecraft. Is all that stuff in Minecraft?
What do you mean? Is all that stuff
undo chained of linked items and copy and paste?
No, it's not.
Oh, really?
No, it's block by block.
That sounds familiar then.
It does.
All right.
But so for building maps or stuff like that? Pointing
out that everything every forger wants. Okay, but thanks for the update.
Donkathon.
I'll be honest. Your submission was spot on.
Were you going to finish it?
I can. Well, okay. Copy and paste. Of course, you guys mentioned textures, and that's a biggie. I hope they definitely do not ignore. What does that mean? What are you guys talking about?
So, with Forge World, everything is the gray, dull,
okay, so hard eyes and all that stuff. That was a big concern from the beginning.
Yeah. So have some like themes, like you have an Earth theme or a Covenant theme set that you can do, something like that.
That's
something that would change the colors and make it not as hard on your eyes just looking at gray the whole time.
Right.
So that's where we're going with that.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, well, any whoso.
Right. So
dreams.
Next one.
Yep.
It's another freaking long one.
Oh my God.
All goodness right. Gracious.
It is getting late.
Yeah. It's 11:45, so We're just going to blast through these last two and we'll wrap up the show.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Killer K34 writes in, for podcast episode 289, like the podcast, could have used a little more talk on Cortana's first interactions with Chief after the 4 years, 7 months, and 10 days. Dang, this guy is specific. Looking at it, she hasn't had anyone to talk to for so long and she has to know the facts that she's getting to that rampant state, so she'll try to hide it. And we will be able to see her slipping up a little with some attitude towards the Chief. I would definitely agree with that statement.
Yeah. She's going to be a little, she's going to be off.
Right.
That's pretty clear.
He goes on to say, when you guys start talking about humanity and how crappy it is with the whole we kill each other and stuff.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
You have a very one-sided view. Humanity is so interesting to follow and watch interact with other species because of how they react. Humans and the aliens could have been allies and friends from the beginning, but the prophets decided that the species contradicted everyone and everything that their great journey and decided that it would break up their entire covenant apart if the truth was found. On a side note, this is how Truth's name comes to be, since his entire upbringing to power is based entirely on a lie. He names himself the Prophet of Truth. Now, we may never be able to come together because our diverse and emotional actions, but this also lets us be able to bring together our diversity and assess the situation. In terms of the discussion that we had about humanity, we're still shooting and killing each other. So, yes, we could have been allies, but figuring that the Covenant came and started killing us, that kind of didn't happen.
No.
So, yeah. This is long.
But it's also going... It's going... it's very deep in a lot of different opinions.
We have a lot of good submissions tonight.
They are. They're very good. I'm reading ahead, but they're very deep in the way they've... I don't know. This is not based on... This is a lot of based on feeling.
Yeah. Which is a good thing.
It's a good thing. It's a good...
I think that shows
but
how...
But it's better for reading and not for us commenting on. It's really more... You can't comment on somebody's...
We can sum this up.
Yeah.
But that's about it. This is the kind of stuff that almost makes Halo 4 exciting.
Yeah.
Because it has people thinking, it has people really digging into the story.
And you take the
and
parts.
Right. It's really digging into what Halo is and what Halo has been over the past 10 years.
Killer, your post is meant to be read and not... And just read.
Same for quietly. Same goes for... Revenge's Lab.
Yes. Yep.
Same goes for his. Yes. I mean,
we were trying to do that. Well, no, but his is a little more tactical in respect to the way multiplayer is.
Right.
But.
Well, this one's more campaign driven.
Yeah,
but it's similar.
That's more fiction. Yeah, this is more fiction driven. Yep. You know, we definitely could talk a little bit more about our multiplayer experiences that are definitely more technical than we can about a campaign experience or what it means to you.
Right.
It's different. But it's good. It's good.
So the next paragraph that Killer has talks about the Chief and how he's somewhat misunderstood, but he's kind of like humanity's greatest effort, and how he basically has no regrets for what happened to him, and that he's basically the shining light of inspiration for all of humanity. His next paragraph talks about how having the Spartan 2s come back might not be such a bad idea, and how they might somehow be integrated into the Spartan 4 program. That's an interesting take on things.
Yes. Well, that's a... What are we doing? Like, what's... Master Chief is supposed to be an inspiration to this whole...
Yeah.
Shit.
So Master Chief is supposedly like the last Spartan 2 that exists.
Nice.
So what if the Spartan 2s that do still exist come back and almost reintegrate into the Spartan 4 program?
That would be awesome. It sounds like this could be, let's really make the Master Chief iconic.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the discussion that we had, I think, on our last show, is that you almost wouldn't want to break that for people who have only played the games and haven't read the books, that don't know Chief is not the last Spartan alive.
Right.
And I guess for some who haven't looked too much into it, not the only Spartan that exists.
Right. But fine. And even if he's not, and he's still, you know, there's other Spartans, but he's still got to be the greatest Spartan that ever existed. He's got to be iconic in that sense.
Yeah.
So at the end of the story, even if he dies at the end of the trilogy, he's still got to be the greatest Spartan that ever existed for whatever story they try to wrap around in this Reclaimer trilogy. He is the greatest Spartan ever lived, and with all these different Spartans go around, like he's got to be considered the, you know, the you know, he walks around on that, wherever he is, he talks to trains or whatever he's, they have him doing now.
Trains?
I don't know. Isn't he somehow tied to that ship and he's going to be on it? I don't know.
Who?
Or,
Chief?
The Chief. I don't, I mean, speculation or the way it makes it sound, how he inspires a Spartan IV. How does that happen?
Oh, you're talking about for the live action thing?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't make that connection. Yeah, valid point.
He's but also add to that, 343 has said they're gonna make it more, you're gonna know John a little more.
Still won't see his face.
I don't think we ever need to see his face.
Probably not.
At this point, what's the difference?
My question would be, do they actually have a face? Like, does 343 internally know what John looks like?
You know what? They probably do.
Or does it get revised after every Halo game?
Or is that taboo? Or is that like, no one speaks of it?
Right, yeah, something like that.
Or just
don't almost, almost like Voldemort.
Exactly.
In the Harry Potter series.
There you go.
So. Yeah. Lots of stuff to see for the Chief. So, Killer, again, good post, just long. And sorry for not reading the whole thing out, but we need to wrap this up. So let's get on to the last one, which is from Duty Bound.
Duty Bound.
Duty Bound.
Right ahead. Duty Bound's got some to say. Beep.
You and your beeps. You're just trying to keep me on my toes, aren't you?
I'm being good. Come on.
The beep chart says otherwise.
Sorry, I'm trying. I'm not good at it. I'm telling you, I'm not gonna lie. It's hard.
Yeah.
So, New York. How you doing?
So Duty Bound has two submissions. The first one, was basically he was clarifying something that he had submitted a while back about us not being up to date on our reading our books and stuff. And he feels that he needs to apologize, but I mean, from a personal standpoint, don't feel like you need to apologize. We are a Halo podcast. We are kind of expected to be somewhat knowledgeable about the stuff we talk about. So I didn't find your comment about not having read the books offensive or anything, but it was just something that reminded me, yeah, I run a Halo podcast. I'm probably a well-known Halo figurehead, and I should probably have read the books at some point. So don't feel that you need to apologize for stuff like that.
Okay.
It's that kind of stuff that I think makes the podcast better, is your guys' constructive criticism, whether or not you like the show or dislike what we talk about. But it's just that feedback that I hope that you guys are willing to give us and help us become a better podcast.
I'm trying to get a grip on this.
What, the first one or the second one?
No, for Duty Bound. So he's claiming you didn't read the books?
Yeah.
Hold on. It's jumping around. Active number...
Yeah, because he says, in reality, I haven't read the books either, so when I said that, not reading all the books means that you are... Some answer your question. So when I said that, not reading all the books means that there are some answers to questions that you would have about Halo 4, I meant as a simple true statement. I did not foresee that comment as being an attack at you or any of your co-hosts. And I didn't see it as an attack, to be honest. I just, it's like, yeah, that's true, and I should probably read the books. So,
well,
I'm just telling them that it wasn't a problem, and that, yeah, it was a good point to make out, and I'm happy that he made the point. Does that wrap it up enough?
Yeah, hold on. I'm going deep into it. So I honestly feel you care about who listens, and I want to bring a quality podcast and website. So I apologize for not saying any attacks that you felt I haven't done towards you.
Basically, all sins forgiven.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah.
And he throws his little story in there on how he found the podcast as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is a brand new listener.
Fairly recent, yes. And he's actually sent in quite a few things. So, but we will read his second submission.
So in regards to Halo 4
if you want to take that, yeah, go for it.
How much information do you personally want about the game's mechanics? How much information do you personally want? See, that's what he's writing in his other statement earlier. Kind of, it gets very wordy. I mean, just say it. He's just dancing a little bit. Do you personally want about the game mechanics? New weapons, storyline, enemies? Does the podcast force you to read about everything so that you can talk about it to us, but resulting in some secrets being spoiled for you that you really wanted? Or do you want to know every single little detail that you can know about Halo 4? Personally, I don't want to know.
Sorry. Go ahead and finish.
Personally, I don't want to know who the new enemy is. I could sum it up this way. I want to get every little scrap of information about multiplayer, but I don't want to really know very much about the campaign.
A very fine line that we walk. And
but there is
a side of us.
Has forced you to read? What is he saying? I don't understand what this guy.
So
point he's trying to make here.
Well, in terms of the podcast, you're expected to stay up on all the Halo news, yeah, even all the Halo leaks and stuff, and talk
podcast,
about it.
Yeah.
So what he's getting at is there ever a point where you wish that you could just kind of ignore that and not have to talk about it on the show? On a show that expects you to know almost everything about Halo and talk about stuff that comes out about Halo. And the answer to that is, one side of me is like, yes, give me every little piece of information that I can possibly get. And the other side of me is, yeah, it kind of spoils it in a way.
Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
He's basically saying, is it worth doing the podcast being spoiled about all the Halo 4 information?
Oh, okay. Okay. I was just really confused.
From a personal standpoint,
yes.
I would want that information.
I think.
And honestly, spoilers don't affect me that much personally, as you stated it.
Yes.
I mean, I can have something spoiled for me, and so I watched a video of the whole Reach campaign a week before Reach came out. And it actually, in my opinion, made the whole Reach experience that much more fun for me. It was like seeing the gameplay there, and it's like, okay, now it's my turn to play this, and I get to go through and run this how I want to run it. So I think it depends on the personality of the person you're asking, whether or not they want to be
right.
Shared all the information or not. In some respects, I do understand where some people is like, yeah, give me all the multiplayer stuff and don't spoil anything about the Chief. Don't give away any storyline details whatsoever.
I understand that,
and I deeply respect that.
I don't want to know.
For me, though, it's like, give me every little piece of information that you are willing to give me.
I'm not like that. I'm definitely more of campaign right. only. You know, or any story details. I don't want to be spoiled.
And I think for most people,
I don't black out. There's a difference. You know, some people black out. They don't want to know nothing. And I think that's kind of now what he's saying here that I see now, what he's saying. Duty bound. He says, you know, as far as how much do you want to know? Like, where's your line? Where are you drawing it?
Right. It's honestly a matter of opinion of the person that you ask.
Definitely is.
And I think in most cases you're going to see that, yeah, multiplayer, give me all the juicy bits, and campaign, don't spoil anything for me.
That's what he's saying. See, it's actually how much you...
Or you spoil the right parts, or hint at the right parts, to make people even more interested in the campaign.
Well,
there's that whole marketing
trailer,
thing.
Yeah.
There's that whole marketing thing.
So, was I right in regards to a Glasslands sequel?
So I was right in regards to a Glass Glen sequel. It wasn't read on the podcast, but one of the posts you discarded said that there had to be a sequel to Glasslands based on the book's Halo 2 like ending. Let's just skip over that because I don't remember.
Yeah, and let's skip over the Forge thing too. It's just like it's the same Forge issues. But this is interesting. So I've heard that the cutscenes for Halo 4 are going to be more in first person. What do you think about the deaths in first person multiplayer? My thought is that the first person death would be from one of many assassinations. I picture something like this. Your Spartan is sprinting past a wall where an enemy is Spartan is hiding. All of a sudden, you stop dead in your tracks and your controls don't work. Next thing you know, you spin 180 degrees and are facing a helmet to helmet with your assassin. You watch helplessly as Andy grabs a knife and stabs you. Then you fall to the ground waiting to respawn. That would take place in a normal assassination time.
Oh, I like that idea.
I actually think that's...
I like that idea.
Awesome.
That is freaking awesome.
Sudden, like, you got your first person view, idea. Then all of a sudden somebody's grabbing your first person view and turning you around.
Yeah.
That's actually good.
I like that. I really like that. 343, make it happen. I like that a lot.
You better put, you know what you do? Put this in the beginning of the podcast. Because they're always going to listen to the end of any show, by the way.
I do.
I don't. That's why.
Well.
I'm kidding. So, put this in the beginning. Oh, that's a great idea.
That's a fantastic idea.
That's
going
to keep me up a couple more hours tonight. That's a great idea. I mean...
What other assassination moves would you do with that, though?
Well, only ones where you get... makes sense if you get spun around where it would be cool.
No.
Because there's other assassinations...
What if you get assassinated with a sword? You see the sword come out your front, and you're like,
that's
oh,
not
crap.
Bad. Yeah, that's good, too. Along with some, you know, controller vibration, which already happens, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, also, if you get someone from the back, too, your Spartan camera could actually turn, and you're like looking behind you, and you see the Spartan and the process.
Just jerk
killing
the
you.
Camera, you know, make it jerk, make your head snap.
Well, some of them would be really bland if you just had the first person the whole time.
You know what you could do? You could do that, get the first person view, then have it pan out for just another second or two, and watch your animation from a camera view.
I want to see someone. I want to see the first person view of you being like kicked off of the spire or something.
Yeah. Well, you know what I thought was always great. You don't even realize it, I think, but I know I do. When I'm even getting killed in a multiplayer game since Gears of War, watching my animation being killed so, you know, violently, and then. Even with Halo Reach, when they were doing the animations for that, and you get to see that, I think it's—I don't know—for some reason it gets me pumped up, makes me want to do it to another player.
Right.
I think it's,
no, Assassinations was one of the best additions to Halo Reach.
It.
I think
loved it. And it's more definitely associated more with like Gears. Gears of War has the best assassination animations ever.
Well, the nice thing about if you stay in first person with your assassinations is that if someone comes back and saves you, you don't have that camera yank out and fly back in.
That's great. Right. Right. They did it.
So that's another plus to that.
Yeah. That's a good point. This is awesome.
Good idea, Duty Bound.
There you go, Duty Bound. Shout out to the Duty Bound.
You want
to
wrap up his submission?
Shout out to the Duty Bound. I am right now. Shout out. Oh, sorry. So the last thing before I go. Uh-oh, he's mentioning his girlfriend. My girlfriend has finally had the last straw with me in Halo. She says I am so obsessed with it that there must be something fun about it. She has never seen any of the campaign or multiplayer. I'm starting her off with Halo CE. Do you think I start her on easy? Man, this game seems to be in all aspects of my life. It's kind of beautiful the way he ended that.
Mm-hmm. Question.
And
has she played any video games before?
Yes, that's the first question.
If she has...
Has she got FPS experience?
Well, not even FPS. Has she played a modern video game before?
Yeah. Well, a two-joystick 3D environment game, yes.
Right. If so, I would say start normal. If she has little to no gaming experience...
Easy, for sure.
Too easy. Too easy. Yes. That's kind of cool. That is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Good submission.
Good submissions. Good submissions all around today.
Good duty.
We were... I'm going to kill that freaking soundboard. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Remember to check out our new video show that we're doing on YouTube. We're doing some Pod TV news shows that are basically... If you've seen stuff that Green Skull or Nick and Eli has done... We regret being alien bastards. Can you quit that? For 1 second, please?
Bitch! Okay, sorry. I'm a little kid again. Go ahead.
Anywho, make sure you check that out on YouTube. That is youtube.com/podtechtv. Podtacular and Pod TV were already taken by previous hosts of the show, and I don't have access to those, and they don't remember their passwords. So,
for shame.
Yeah. PodTechTV. PodTechTV is where you go on YouTube. Shame. And so far, we have 3 episodes out, and we're pretty much doing those whenever some big news hits, and then we'll aggregate, but they'll sum up topics that we talk about here on the show. So, please go over, comment, subscribe, leave feedback on how we're doing, what you want to see more of, what you would want us to talk about, possibly on those. They're designed to be really short, 6 to 10 minutes in length, just to get info about news out there, not really any heavy discussions or anything, so go check that out. Also, we have the beta forums up at beta.podtacular.com/forums, and we made some updates there last week. We're going to make some more updates this weekend, and hopefully get the color scheme finalized for you guys, and get that moved over to production as quickly as possible, because the whole spammer issue in the current forums has gotten a little out of control as of late. So, sorry about that. That's all the stuff that we have for tonight. Thanks again for listening. Dad had to leave out early, so thanks to him for being on the show. Greg has run into some real life issues, so he won't be on until next week. And thank you, Keith, again for being on the show.
I am honored. Thank you.
Okay, until next time, guys, keep on fracking those trucks.